Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, if you don't mind me patting my own self on the back, I'm reading something, but I just got a text here. Yesterday's show was a best of. It was a keeper. You know what is amazing about yesterday's show? Nothing I had planned came up. Well, pardon me, I've got a hair on my mouth. Every morning when I come down, like I got up, I was up early this morning. I was up like 4:30 this morning. I don't know. I slept great. No issues. Just at 4:30, I was awake. And I can't explain it. So I got up and I did the same thing I do every morning. I prepare a show. I did that yesterday. I prepared a show. And if I were to flash up on the screen for you to show you the stuff that I had planned, Spencer could do that. It doesn't matter. You don't have to do it, Spencer. But I send it to Spencer, to Jared every day. Say, okay, here are the videos. Here's the stuff. Here's the stuff I want to maybe get to today. And yesterday, we got to none of it. Not one thing on my list did we talk about yesterday. Not one. And it was unbelievable. There you got it up on the list so you can see all the stuff. Oh, I got to come back to this. Boy, I shouldn't have done that because now I want to go back and talk about that stuff that I wanted to talk about yesterday. Point I'm trying to make is, I'm telling you, that show yesterday was a deep one, man. That was a deep one. And the show's good because y'all, because you guys make the show good. Scripture warns.
You're the fire starter.
Well, I may be the fire starter, but Joe, I didn't start that fire yesterday. I mean, I did, but the fire, the kindling I had was wet. I came down the steps and Jeff Klein's, I think it was Jeff, somebody said something about, no, it was Ray LeBlanc said something about churches and pastors opening it up to church for vaccinations and off and running we went. And it's amazing. You hear that phone goes off and somebody sent me a message. It's a good one, man. It was a good, it was a best up. So I don't know if you guys do this. I don't know how we share these good ones. I don't know how we do because they're long. And if you're like me, somebody sends you a video and you look and say, oh my goodness, 59 minutes? Well, that's what double time is for. But I don't know how you do it. Yesterday was really, really good. And I would encourage some of you, if you can, pass that thing on because it was really, really deep. I got some good stuff for you today as well. I want to announce this. I didn't check with our team. I didn't check with whoever. The Russ Dizdar event coming up on the 23rd and 24th. That's like 8-9 days from now. Thank you. New, out of the box promotion. You ready? You bring your pastor free. If you get a pastor, he's free. Because we're talking about spiritual warfare, spiritual deliverance, spiritual oppression. And if you don't think there is any of that stuff, then I don't even know what to do. And if your pastor doesn't think there's any of that stuff, then run for your life from that church. But right now, I'm telling you, if you come and you bring your pastor, he's free. He's free. All right, go ahead, Steve. I feel you there. What's up? What's up, dude?
Hey, this my friend from Africa who's on a mission trip. Does he count? He's a pastor.
Bring him. Heck
yeah. I was going to register him today.
Okay, bring.
He's got no money, but I'm going to cover him. But
well, he's free there, brother. He's free. And the reason I can say that is we've met our budget. Praise the Lord, we've met our budget. Meaning everything's paid for. Now, I don't know about you. We want more people to come. We want the live streaming. Because I want to pay Russ's team. Russ says, I'll do it for free. Come on, man. Make a guy do something like that for free. So the more people to sign up means there's more money to divvy out to Russ and his team. So our expenses are met. Bring a pastor. Bring a pastor. Hey, bring a pastor. Would you do that for me? They're free. They're going to kick against the pricks because we can be honest here, can't we? Most of us, including our leadership, are scared of really, really demonic warfare. We're scared of it, right? We're scared of it. Or how about this? How about telling your pastor, hey, pastor, listen, I'm going to get you the free live streaming, pastor. I'm going to get you free live streaming. If you promise me that you will watch it, because they have 30 days, they can watch it live, and then they have access to it for 30 days. If you could say, hey, pastor, I'm going to buy that live stream if you promise me you will watch it. Because, can we, you know, listen, we understand how this operates, don't we? If you are a man under authority, if you are the boss, you are the head coach, you are whatever, you're the general manager, you're the construction superintendent. We all know this. If one of the people who work under you come to you and say, ask you a question about something, and you don't have the answer, you feel uncomfortable. You're the stinking boss. What do you mean you don't know? And so we like to brush it aside or whatever. Folks, a lot of pastors are uninformed and misinformed on this issue, and they're not going to admit it. They'll say this, maybe. A lot of them will say, we don't believe in it. You know, I don't believe in all that stuff, or I believe the gift ceased, or I believe all that. Folks, come on, man. The dark side is more active now than they have ever been. Well, that maybe not be true. The dark side's more active, openly active, than they've ever been. I have a great video. I don't know. You guys ought to see this. Let me see how I could do that. Spencer, I'm going to, as I jabber here, Doug Hagman this morning, y'all guys know Doug. I'm not dropping names here. I'm going to forward this to you real quickly here, Spence. Doug Hagman sent me a video of a police shooting in Columbus, Ohio. That's where we live. Hang on. Who am I sending this to? I'm sending this to Jared. Whoops. I don't know if you guys saw it or not. A guy got shot by the police here in Columbus, Ohio. Doug Hagman sent me a copy of it. Have you seen this? I hadn't seen it. The police video, right, that they wear, they arrested this guy, took him to a hospital. They were worried about him, whether he was on drugs or whatever he was on. It's unbelievable that the police somehow the police did not frisk this guy or appropriately frisk this guy. And what happens? Yeah. He takes a gun with him into the hospital, if you can believe this. And in the hospital, they discover the gun. Guy's on the gurney, and he's got a gun. They begin to empty his pockets, and they find a gun. Now, this guy is seriously whacked. I'm just putting it up here. You don't have to watch it. Maybe we can put it down in the chat. It's about 17 minutes of actual footage. You can go about the 6-minute mark. Just stop right there, okay? So here's this guy they've wheeled into the hospital because they took him off of the street. He's acting strange, right? And he's got a freaking gun in his pocket. You believe this? And the whole video will show you. They end up killing him as he pulls the gun out in St. Anne's Hospital in Westerville, Ohio, out there where JR lives, just down the road from JR, actually. And we don't think this guy's demonic. We don't think something crazy is going on. This guy's life is taken from him. So these manifestations of evil, just play 30 seconds of this so these guys get an idea of what this is about, Spencer. Turn the sound up, man. Just 30 seconds. This cop's in there walking around talking to the guy. He's got a freaking gun in his pocket.
All right, well, it's all got to come out. What about your, can we use your hat just to dump your property in? That's kind of a bag. Asking for a bag. It's got something in it. Hold on.
Okay, now you can stop that, Spencer. I'm not going to take the time to show you this. You can watch it later. We'll put it in the chat. This guy ends up getting killed. It's like 10 police officers in the hospital, and he won't give up his gun. He won't give up his gun. They end up shooting him. Saying what? Said coach, folks, this stuff's manifesting all around us and we're not aware of it, okay? So that's why I'm pushing so hard the Dizdar thing. I think it's that important, especially for our clergy. Oh, my goodness. Pastors, come on, man. Come on, man. Isn't that what Joe Biden says? Come on, man. Come on, man. Joe Allen, come on in here a second.
If this don't open your eyes of your surroundings, you got to be aware of it.
You got to be aware. Joe, can you, Joe, as a police officer, can you believe these guys didn't totally frisk this guy before they put him in the emergency squad and took him into the hospital? And he's in the hospital for 6 or 7 minutes before they empty his pockets, find out he's got a gun on him. And then they try to get the gun away from him. This goes on for 17 minutes. He won't give up his gun. Next thing you know, the place is full of these cops, all of them pointing a gun at this guy. Oh, my goodness. So it's everywhere. I don't want to belittle it, okay? So pastors are free. Some of you, talk to your pastor or a pastor. Get the live streaming for $30, and they got a month to watch it. Tell them that I don't even care if you purchase it and share it with them. I don't even care about that. You understand? If you want to purchase the live stream, I shouldn't say this because, well, you guys are honest. If you want to purchase the live stream and share the code with other people, I don't care. We've got to get this information out. Okay, we have to get it out. So please do that, all right? Hey, listen, if you're going to share it with 10 people, at least throw $30 in there to help us take care of Russ and his boys, okay? Then another thing real quickly, if you could, Spencer, click on, I just sent that to you, Tactical Civics for Pastors. Here's another thing. This is really good. This is from Dr. Mike Spaulding. Mike just sent it to me, his book, Tactical Civics for Pastors. And you can get that on Mike's website, drmikelive.com, I think it is. Can you pull the screen up a little bit, Spence? Tactical Civics for Pastors. And it does a great job of taking them through and showing them what the law is and how we got where it's really well done by Dr. Mike Spaulding. And so you can go on his website, drmikelive.com, and I don't know how much it is, but whatever it is, let's wake our pastors up, huh? Let's wake these guys up. Now, this comes from the website tacticalcivics.com. Can you go there real quick, Spence? Tacticalcivics.com. And we're going to have to dig more into this because this is a plan, once again, to restore government to the local level. I didn't have the right connection. I'm sorry, man. Tactical Civics. There it is. Tired of being run by corrupt politicians and those who hate America. Tactical Civics, a plan on how to win this battle. Tacticalcivics.com. Okay. So you can buy live streaming. You can get the book for Pastor Spaulding. Let's try to wake up some pastors, huh? Let's try to wake some of these guys up. John Diamond, you got your hand in the air. Go ahead, John. John Diamond's got some good books too, by the way. But go ahead, John. Unmute yourself. John, you playing games with me this morning? Well, if you get in here, John, we'll talk to you. If not, we won't. All right, here we go. This is amazing. Click on Judith Reisman. Judith, I'm heading to Boston this week. I'm going to come back and talk about that. I sent you that link, Judith Reisman. She died. Say, who's Judith Reisman? Well, she's the woman, if you guys remember when we went to the Kinsey Institute, and she wrote the book, Kinsey, Crimes and Consequences. She's the one who exposed the Kinsey Institute that Alfred Kinsey was a pedophile. Janet Reisman. She died over the weekend. You ready for this? Pretty good evidence she died from the vaccination. You hear me? I got an email from those who are in the know. Judith Reisman's no longer with us. And she's no longer with us because she got vaccinated. Now she's not here. And the email I got, and I'm not going to pass it on because I'm not, you know, we're not about hearsay here, although this is, I guess, somewhat hearsay, is she was getting a lot of pressure from people. A lot of pressure from people to take the vaccination. So she did. And now she's dead. It's a great loss to us. Great loss. So I head into Boston this weekend. I say that. Go ahead, Silver. Go ahead, Ben.
Coach, what you've basically described as a wake-up call for pastors, all right, if you were saying, you know, set this up for the pastors, at least get them a ticket in via the internet,
right,
and so that they can, you know, either witness or participate, but, you know, find out where they are concerning this realm that we're dealing with. And if it's like what you were saying, oh, we don't believe in that kind of stuff, you know, get the hell out of that place.
Okay?
And identify who these people are, because they're the enemy as well.
They are, brother. Joe, that's well said, man. Hey, that is well said. If they're covering for the devil, they're the enemy, right? If they're saying he doesn't exist, hey, John Diamond got his microphone open. Come on in, John.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yes.
I apologize for that. Hey, pray for me, guys. I'm flying out to Tulsa this afternoon. I put the link to the conference that's in over in the text. There's a conference that's going to have General Flynn, Lynn Wood, Lindsey Powell, I think Sidney Powell. Yeah. And I was invited out there by Alan Keyes and his team to work on his media team. So we're going to probably be interviewing a lot of these guys. So maybe I hope to have some an update maybe Monday morning about what's going on, what these, you know, Trump insiders are saying. So I know we're all kind of in the dark. But they Alan Keyes's team got on the phone with the guy that's running it and said, hey, man, you need to get this guy about 10 minutes to speak. And I know it's already full with all the people that are there. So just be praying that I'd give at least maybe 5 or 10 minutes to speak. I want to talk to them about Isaiah 33:22 textbook that we're putting together. I've already got 12 scholars that want to put this America government textbook together for ninth graders. And that's the main reason I want to get up and talk to them, is just tell them about that textbook so we can re-educate people. So just be in prayer for me today, please.
We just pray the Lord opens doors for you, John, more and more, and your faithfulness, and rewards your faithfulness, and you're stepping out in full-time ministry and all that goes along with that. So God bless you, man. Have an impact, right? I would love to have been at that event. Actually, I saw about it, but I'm going to be in Boston this weekend. I'm going to talk about that here in a second. Area code 508, come on in. No, this is not 518. No, want to come? Larry, go ahead, Larry. Come on in.
Yeah, I just want to back up on what Joe Silver said. You know, when you run across a pastor that is just hell-bent on spouting lies or hiding the truth, not only run from that place, but expose him. Well, I don't want to say anything bad about a pastor. You know, no, don't mess with the Lord's anointed. Bullshit! That's not the Lord's anointed when he's lying.
Good to have you back, Larry. Good to have you back. That's right. Huh? He ain't the Lord's anointed when he's lying. I'm glad you said that, not me.
Hey, Larry. Hey, Larry's that fullback, Coach.
Yeah, send your emails to Larry, not to me. All right, send them to Larry. It's all good. It's all good. I'm sorry, I'm fiddling with something here. I knocked it out. All right, let me get that. All right, they were up and running. Okay, let me go back here real quickly. I got some good stuff. Stay with me, okay? Not that we don't always have good stuff. And no, this isn't yesterday's stuff. This is today's stuff. I'm going to be in Boston Monday and Tuesday morning. We're coming back Tuesday night. But one of the things we're going to do on Monday is listen, my children, and you shall hear the midnight ride of Paul Revere. Pull that up there, if you will, Spencer. It says poets, poem, Paul Revere. You guys are all aware of this, right? Listen, on Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, listen, my children, you shall hear the midnight ride of Paul Revere on the 18th of April in 75. Hardly a man's now alive who remembers that famous day and year. He said to his friends of the British march by land or sea from the town tonight. You guys all know the story, right? Well, that is what? The 18th of April. We are going to be at Lexington Green with Rich Howe, who is, he is like the expert historian on what happened on Lexington Green. The shot heard around the world. The British are coming. Rich is like the world's expert on it. And we're going to be there on Monday morning live. They used to have a big celebration, a big to-do there. Of course, they're not doing it because somebody might get a virus or something. So they're not doing it. They didn't do it last year, and they're not doing it this year. But we're going to be broadcasting live from Lexington Green on Monday morning. And Rich is going to give us a tour of the green and what happened here and what happened there. Listen to me. It's fascinating, okay? I'm telling you, it's fascinating. So Monday morning's show is not going to be like this. It's going to be out in the streets, and I think you'll really, really enjoy it. But I want to show you something else. Flip it up here. It just says Paul Revere. God, pull that up there for me real quickly. This is the History Channel, and I got a couple. I got a little bit of pushback when I told people that it really wasn't Paul Revere who did it. The Longfellow used Paul Revere because it reminded with, "Listen, my children, you shall hear." Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. Now, Paul Revere was involved in it, but he was just a cog, although an important one, an elaborate one. And if you read on down farther, you're going to find out that one of the guys who was actively involved with it was a man named Charles Dawes. And Charles Dawes owns Dawes Arbor. His family owns Dawes Arbor. There it is. I'm sorry, back down. William Dawes. Slide down. There it is. A Mr. William Dawes was Dawes Arboretum, just up the road from us here. So I tell that people that all the time, said it wasn't just Paul Revere, it was actually William Dawes, and they think I'm crazy. So this is just verification from the History Channel. By the way, Paul Revere and those guys were heading to Boston, Lexington Green. They were trying to rescue Sam Adams, who was the firebrand of the Constitution, and John Hancock, who signed his name so big that the king would be able to read it without his spectacles. You remember that whole story. Rich Howe's going to give us all that on Monday. It'll be fascinating, promise you. And this history thing, maybe we ought to put this in the link too. You ought to check this out because this is really, really, really fascinating. Fascinating. And what happened at Lexington Green and what a shot heard around the world was fired and a rock that says, "Don't fire unless fired upon. But if it's war they want, let it begin here." And across the way is another big monument that says, "From this point will mark the liberty of the world." It's a really, really, really fascinating place, and I'm honored to be there. In fact, we get to go to America Stonehenge in New Hampshire. We're going to do that on Monday as well, so I got an exciting weekend. Okay, another thing I got to clear up from yesterday, for all the people who send me emails, Spencer, please click on abortion ingredients. They say, "Oh, Coach, why do you keep, that's been debunked. That's been long debunked." Really? Been long debunked? Well, here's a list of corporations that use tissue from aborted babies in their products. This is September 5th, 2020. Wasn't all that long ago. Can you make that a little bit bigger, Spencer? I don't know if you can or not. There you go. All right, let's go down through here. Let's roll down through. Just say, you guys say, well, this is, where's the verification for this? Well, where's the verification that the vaccine works? Where's that verification? Right? Following list outlines processed foods, vaccines, and beauty products known to contain ingredients derived from aborted human babies. What are they? How about Pepsi? All Pepsi soft drinks. Sierra Mist, Mountain Dew, Mug Root Beer, No Fear Beverages, Ocean Spray Beverages, Seattle's Best Coffee, Tazo Beverages, AMP Energy Drinks, Aquafina Water, Aquafina Flavored Water, Double Shot Energy Beverages, Frappuccino Beverages, Lipton Tea, and other beverages, Propel Beverages, Sobe Beverages, Gatorade Beverages, Fiesta Miranda Beverages, Tropicana Juices and Beverages, all contain aborted baby tissue. Nestle's, N-E-S-T-L-E-S, Nestle sells the very best chocolate, also coffee creamers with babies in them. Maggie brand instant soups, bouillon cubes, ketchup, sauces, seasonings, and instant noodles. And Kraft jumps in there. They're good too. Cadbury Adams products, Black Jack chewing gum, Bubble Blue bubble gum, Bubblicious bubble gum, Chiclets, Clorets, Dentine, Freshen Up gum, Sour Cherry gum, Limited, Sour Apple gum, Strident. And evidently, those aborted baby tissues are sour or something. Cadbury, I'm not going to read down to them, although I almost have. There you are. Oh, how about vaccines? There's no aborted babies. No vaccines. Merck, ProQuad, MMR, Chickenpox, Varivax, Pentacel, Vata, Havrix, GlaxoSmithKline, Twinrix, Zostavax, that's for shingles, Imavax, that's for rabies. And other medicines, cystic fibrosis, rheumatoid arthritis, Amogen. Read and weep, boys and girls. Read and weep. And whether you want to admit it or not, we're in, it's cannibalism. It's cannibalism. But you can trust science, right? Trust science. Huh? Science is, they're extremely, extremely moral. Extremely moral. Hey, man, I've rattled. Come on in, Mark.
It's not just that, it's supply chain.
Go ahead. What does that mean, Mark? Chain. What does that
mean? Babies are supply chain. The babies are part of the supply chain. They're ingredients. Without the ingredients, they'll sell less Pepsi. What ingredients? Taste bud enhancers. HEK293. Sonomics. Sonomics is the maker of the taste bud enhancer, or one of them.
Wow.
The point is it's a supply chain issue. If they cut off and regulate using baby tissue, what are these brands going to do? What are these medicines going to do? Oh, my word. What do we do? Well, we got to fight it. So then they have lobbyists go to Congress and keep their baby tissue coming.
Yep. We wonder why we can't end abortion, right? We wonder why we can't do that, right? Right.
Why do we need aborted babies and bullion cubes? This is ridiculous.
Well, evidently there's a property there, Rochelle, that makes it compatible. I don't know, dear. I don't know, but there's something there that Spencer's high.
It's a global supply chain. The babies are used for our economy.
Spencer just highlighted K293, the aborted human fetal cell line used by Cinemex, which is a sweetener company, is manipulated to evaluate how the human palate will react to synthetic flavors used in the production of processed foods.
The history goes back to actually using fetus taste buds. They took taste buds off of babies and put it in food to see if it would taste better. And it did. That's how they began the process.
Oh, my Lord, help us. Huh? My.
Coach, come on can in. I jump in here, please?
Yeah, James, come on in. Jim, come on in, buddy.
So I don't know if you saw the video of the women coming across the border. I mean, there were multiples lined up, single file, all pregnant. What do you think they're going to do with those babies after they're born?
What do you think, folks? What are those babies?
Sausage grinder.
I think it's going to be some satanic sacrifice ritual.
Oh, you're going to lead me into something here. You keep talking.
You're
going to lead me into something here, Jim, because we've been talking about, you know, the carnal nature and fighting the carnal battle, and nothing blesses me more to wake up and my wife said, my honey, you've lost weight. My wife said that to me this morning. I'm thinking, you see me every day. What are you talking about? You just now notice? She said, no, you've lost weight. Thanks. See, how have you lost weight? Well, I've disciplined myself. That's how I did it. As far as I know, it wasn't any demon. I don't think I had a demon of gluttony. I think I just liked to eat. That's what I think. And now I got control over it. And I don't eat that stuff all the time, and the weight's coming off of me. There's a lot of other reasons why, but again, so we've been talking about the carnal nature, right? Well, there's a spiritual aspect. I'm going to introduce a little bit of that here this morning. Come on in, Rich, real quickly. Larry, did you want to say something too? Is your hand still up? Okay, go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, I was just thinking that might be a destination there to go in front of what was it, that company called Cinemex? Yeah.
Yeah.
Could that place.
Well, Rich, you went with us to Indiana University for the Judith Raceman when they had the daggone Kinsey Institute. Still there.
No, I didn't. I didn't get to go to that.
You did.
Yeah. No, I was invited, but I didn't get to go.
Well, I associate that with you, so know that you're in and my thoughts when we were there. And we went, we exposed Alfred Kinsey. The University of Indiana, Bloomington, has an entire building, school, would that be right? Based on the Kinsey, Alfred Kinsey, Kinsey Institute. Alfred Kinsey was a pedophile. Alfred Kinsey destroyed American sexuality. Alfred Kinsey was the father of homosexuality being introduced into the mainstream. Kinsey was the guy who did that. Kinsey did sexual studies on 2 and 3 month old babies to see how many orgasms they would have when stimulated. I'm not making this up. You think tinfoil hat? Hang on, tinfoil hat. That's what Judith Reisman told us all about, right? And they have a dad, hang on, Raj, and they have a dad going to school in Indiana named after her, right? After him, Alfred Kinsey Institute. Hey, click on it. You think I'm lying? Click on it, Spencer. Kinsey Institute. See if what pops up. Go ahead, Roger.
Oh, don't you think that's the direction we're moving to, lowering the age of sex with minors? It is clear that's what it's going to be with us in 10 years. It's going to be, they're going to drop the age to sex with children 9, 10, 11. That is coming. There's no doubt in my mind.
It is coming for sure, Raj. And it's all started with Kinsey Institute, which is right up there. And you see underneath it, Indiana University, exploring sexuality, relationships, and well-being. Well, why would they have two women? If they're exploring sexuality, why would they have two women? To help me out here, doesn't a normal woman have sex with a man? I mean, isn't that kind of how it works? They have propaganda right on their freaking front homepage, right? New study on post-pandemic sex. Oh, I bet that's come something, right? McKinsey's research was done on kids. Young kids. Alfred Kinsey was a pedophile. They want to tear down statues of George Washington and Andrew Jackson and Bobby Lee. And they got this guy, got a building named after him. Well, That's for another day. Stephanie sent me in there. I always have to read a text from Stephanie. Yeah. Stephanie says they've been changing our meat suits, means our bodies, for their wants and needs. Huh? I think makes us more open for genetic mutation. Okay. Let's go to it. Are y'all sitting down? Because we've been doing the nice side of it. And this, I want to wet your whistle for why we need to get Russ Dizdar here. I came across this. 7 principalities of hell. 7. This came from a guy who's now dead by the name of Doc Marquis. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of him. Most of you probably never heard of him. Doc Marquis. Hey, Spence, I'd see if you can find something on him. Since he died just like maybe a couple years ago. D-O-C M-A-R-Q-U-I-S. Doc Marquis. Now, he used to have a website there. Let's see what it pops up. Joseph Doc Marquis. There's his WikiLeaks thing, okay? He was born into the Illuminati. He was an expert on the Illuminati. I can tell you something. He was a weird guy, okay? He was a weird guy. And the first time I met Doc Marquis, it was totally by accident. I didn't have any idea who he was. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know anything about Doc Marquis when I first met him for the first time. All right, there he is. We can show you some videos of him. He came out of the Illuminati. He's exposing the Illuminati. He spent his whole life in the inner workings of that dark, dark, dark side. And unfortunately, or fortunately, like everybody else, he was way ahead of his time because the world really wasn't ready to hear what Doc Marquis had to say. But like our friend Stephanie, and like our friend Holly, and like those who've been involved in this deep, dark stuff, the Illuminati 7-part plan towards the creation of a new world. Doc Marquis, when did he write this? Spence, see if it slides down, see if it tells us. 2014, December 15, 2014. He's now passed. But he was warning us about all this stuff that's coming. Doc Marquis was. Look at this. Here's what he said's coming. Spencer, I'm going to give you a medal. This is awesome that you caught this. He said, here's where they're heading. Abolition of private property, heavy progressive income tax, confiscation of property and all. Oh, I'm sorry. This is what Karl Marx said. Okay. Marquis saying this is demonic, folks. This is all demonic. And it's all came from Dr. Daniel Weisstock, all of it. Okay. It's all demonic. All demonic is what Doc Marquis was trying to warn people of, because he'd spent so much time in it, like Stephanie and like others, that they understand it in a way that we don't understand. Okay. So I'm trying to give Doc Marquis some props here. So you guys know I'm not, you probably never heard of him before. There's a lot of videos you can go watch of him. And like I said, first time I'd ever met him, I didn't know anything about him. That was maybe, I don't know, 10 years ago, probably.
Yeah. Didn't he spill the beans on the Jesuits, coach, and also Vatican City?
Yep, he did. He did. So what I want to show you today was kind of mind-blowing. I got this from a third party, from Doc Marquis had put this together, and I just want to share it with you, okay? And now listen, I don't know the veracity of this. Truth. I don't know the truth, okay? Do you know why? Because I've never been there. I don't understand. I haven't been where Doc Marquis's been. I haven't been where Stephanie's been. I haven't been where, Russ Dizdar's been. I haven't been where Tom Dunn's been, okay? So I could say, like, is common, well, that's all malarkey. That doesn't. Why would I say that? Because I don't know anything about it. I don't want to look like a fool. Because I don't know anything about it, I don't want to look like a fool. I'll just act like it doesn't exist. But I came across this because we're going to head into this whole spiritual warfare thing.
You sound
with
like
Russ.
A pastor.
Yeah.
You sound like a pastor now.
Yeah. That all ceased. That devil stuff, that all ceased. That's not around anymore. So this is, I don't know where I got it. This was prepared by Doc Marquis. And I'm going to let Silver read it because his tossed tones are a little bit more appropriate to listen to than mine. So, Joe, if you can, let's see if there's about seven of these, I think. Seven high-ranking principality of hell as taught by witches. Really? Go ahead, Silver. Try to crack this open for us here.
Sorry, wrong buttons.
Okay, hang on. Marquis introduces this section with these words. Thus, it is with great hesitancy that I list the seven high-ranking major principalities of hell that are taught to witches. I do feel that in order to give you a clear understanding of possessions and who causes them and why they, the demonic beings, must be listed. So, Heavenly Father, just cover everybody here right now in the blood of Jesus over all of us, Lord. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Every tongue rising in judgment against us shall be condemned, because we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So, Joe, go ahead and expose from Doc Marquis the seven principalities of hell that are taught to the occult. Go ahead, Joe. Let's do the first one. I don't care if you pronounce them right, brother. I'm not going to give you a grade on it, okay?
Well, trust me, the Lord's leading me on this one.
Okay.
Rege. He is the general of the occult. He deals with such drugs as marijuana, hashish, cocaine, speed, LSD, peyote, and mescaline. These are drugs of sorcery. They attack the mind and open it up for a demon to enter. Rege is also responsible for seeing that music is hex.
Music is hex. Now, hang on. I'm betting this guy who just got killed by the police in Westerville, Ohio, I'm betting he was on something. Anybody want to argue with that? Huh? That he was on something? And when you're on something, what is it? You're opening yourself up to demons associated with hell. Now, I don't believe, I got to be careful how I say this. Here's my belief, okay? I'm not sure that all the demons are in hell. If they were in hell, they wouldn't be flying around, would they? So he's just giving us the principalities of hell. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, there's lots of them out there, but yes, there sir. Are a few who are locked up right now.
There are some.
Be released.
Yes, sir. I'm with you on that. Okay. Maybe not in hell as we know hell. Boy, that'd be a Bible study, wouldn't it?
Yes.
But they're certainly locked someplace, aren't they?
Correct.
So when they say, that devil, he's in hell. Go back to hell where you belong. Devil's not in hell, folks. He's not in hell. He's on the loose. Go ahead.
Of great interest is the name of the lesser marijuana demon who reports directly to Reje. His name is Jah, and is considered the god of marijuana by many practicing occultists. Listen to this quote from John Lennon, the founder of the Beatles.
Now, folks, listen to me. You don't have to believe it. This is what the occultists believe, okay? Is it real? I don't know, huh? We didn't talk about that much in seminary, and, you know, this is what they believe. Go ahead.
During the recording session for Revolver, the Beatles worked on the track Rain, which would eventually be released as a single. It contained recording history's first use of reversed music and voices.
Remember that when they said Paul is dead? You remember how they said it in reverse when you played it? You guys all remember that, don't you? When they played that, Paul is dead. They said that's what it's going to reverse. Go ahead, Joe.
While working on the song, John, high on marijuana, actually loaded the tapes backward, resulting in a sound that transfixed him. He called the inspiration the gift of God, of Jah, actually the god of marijuana. Jah gave me that one.
Wow.
The first backward tape on any recorded anywhere. The Lennon Prophecy.
This is where it came from. You don't have to read that, Joe. That's from the Lennon Prophecy, okay?
Okay.
So John Lennon credited the backward playing of music to Jah. To Jah. Go ahead.
My research in the occult has revealed to me that the, quote, opening of one's mind to higher levels of consciousness, unquote, is absolutely critical to the development of that person to the higher levels of the occult.
You cannot, according to what Doc Marquis says, you cannot enter into the occult without the use of drugs. If I'm reading this right, huh?
That's
Are you guys
correct.
Reading it the same way?
Yes.
Okay.
And such, quote, opening of one's mind, unquote, is absolutely dependent upon taking drugs. Therefore, if our theory of CE 1001 is correct, we should see a tremendous problem of people taking drugs on a widespread and unprecedented manner. Do you see such a problem in today's news?
I think maybe. Go ahead, Joe.
As far as today's popular music being hexed, I believe it totally. Space and time do not permit me to go into detail on this point. However, I simply submit to you here that people are being trained in witchcraft, are told that popular music, especially the targeted for teens and preteens, is hexed for maximum occultic effect.
Wow. See, I don't even, I'm sorry, I hate to tell you this. I'm not a pastor, so I can say this. I don't understand how hexes work. But they must work, because evidently the occult uses them. And so when songs, music is created, Doc Marquis said they're hexed. For what? Maximum occultic effect. Hey, folks, have you listened to that rap music? Have you listened to rap music? And you tell me there is not an occultic element to this? Man, I got all these people want to ask a question or want to add something. Okay, let's stop there a minute. Let's see. Hey, listen, if you accidentally raised your hand, go ahead and take your hand down. Because some of you, I don't know whether you still want to jump in here or not. Thank you. Okay. Evidently, Reggie wants to get in there. Then Glenn. We'll go through this slow. We'll take a couple of days if we have to. Go ahead, Reg.
Good morning, everybody. This is a subject that I have been involved in for a very long time. I don't need to give my resume, nor do I need to tell my story of being a survivor. But I will tell you what a hex is. There's different words, but there are high levels of principalities and powers that are summoned. When I was telling you yesterday, I know it's hard for people to wrap their heads around with the whole, we were talking about the food additives and the rich. It's the same thing in music. My dear friend, I will not give her name because she's in hiding, but she comes from one of the Illuminati bloodlines. She was, she had a protector because she's one of the elite children. And her protector is lifelong. Her protector was an actual, they go through different jobs. He used to do I know everybody used to say, oh, that's not real. The backward masking in all of the, well, there's only five, I think, of the recording studios. They do rituals. They're real.
Reggie, yeah. Hang on, because the Holy Spirit just said something to me. Wow. Hey, Mark, you listening to this one? Here's what the Holy Spirit just said to me as Reggie was talking. If words are energy, is it possible to reverse those words and counterfeit the energy? Just thinking, Reggie. Just thinking out loud.
Extract energy. You use energy to extract energy. For the people who don't believe in hexes, do you believe in the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, spoken out of Jesus, spoken out of us? We have the power to use for Jesus.
Wow,
it's the same. They have the power that they worship. Why shouldn't we believe it? We have all the power in heaven and earth.
Amen. Reggie, I didn't mean to cut you off. I did, Reggie. Go ahead. Go ahead and finish your thought.
No, that's okay. So I just wanted to, I know it's really hard, but people really need to wake up. And the only way that we're going to expose and survive all of this is a learning about it. And people, you hear pastors and priests, don't delve into the darkness.
Amen.
You have to know your enemy. You have to.
Reggie, you'll be good to know. I got a tongue in cheek text messages here. It says, my pastor says this isn't real. So there you go. Just so you all know. Come on in, Rochelle. You're still muted, dear. Still muted.
Okay. Sometime my microphone messes up.
Okay.
I mentioned this when we had Russ. You had Russ on, and I was trying to find it exactly in the text, but in the book of Jubilees, look, we have a lot of books that were taken out of our Bible back in 1611, and you'll gain so much knowledge from reading those. But in the book of Jubilees, it clearly explains how God left 10% of the demons here. He didn't lock them up. He left 10% here. And they are used in a sense to test us.
Amen. They are. Well, hey, Rochelle, I just saw David Arthur just text it in here real quick. Bear with me. Hey, David. Explain what you just put in the chat here for me. Can you get in here a second and do that?
Yeah. So when I moved down to Ohio, I was lured. To make a long story short, I was lured to Kentucky for what I thought was a beneficial, thing for somebody. And it was actually just a plot to get me there. I know the situation of feeling the presence of a demon in my vehicle or something in my vehicle. Couldn't see it, but I could hear it. I could feel it. I could sense it. I could almost feel its breath on my neck. And I also know the experience of being, for lack of a better word, raped by a demon in my hotel room. And then I no longer felt the presence of it around me because it was in me. So if you think that as a child of God that you can't be demonized, then you're wrong. And this demonization had me for about a week and a half. It actually put me in the hospital for an emergency surgery because of the infection. I was septic and I had an emergency surgery. But for the first week, I was demonized. I was looking to engage in homosexual activity. I was looking to engage in everything that was against God's will for me. And it was being at Coach Dave's house with a group of people, one of which was on Russ Dizdar's team, that I had to tell Coach what happened and how I was feeling, because I thought the Holy Spirit left me. And I really truly believed that the Holy Spirit left me and abandoned me. And he didn't, because when Dave called me to pray over a family, I knew that he hadn't abandoned me, because he showed up and he prayed, and I prayed in the Spirit, and much more phenomenally and louder than I ever would have. And that's when I told Dave what happened, and we went to his house and we did a deliverance, and I felt this thing be lifted up out of me. And then we all felt the presence of it in Coach's home, And then we all banded together and we felt the presence of it lift from the home.
Amen. Folks, that's an incubus and a succubus. You can look that up. Somebody say, what? Yeah. Well, you don't teach that in your church. Okay. Well, it doesn't matter because it happened to David Arthur, and David didn't know about an incubus and a succubus. You'd never heard of it, had you, David?
I had no idea. Here I was running around with Tom Dunn and Wendy and people from Russ Dizdar's team talking about, yeah, I believe, until it happened to me. And then I had to really believe because I guess I didn't really believe.
Dave.
Amen.
Well, yeah, you know, Coach, if there's only 10% running around now, they're only locked up. Not only, but they were locked up, I think it was put as 70 generations.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if there's only 10% out right now, I don't know when the other 90%.
Look out, huh? Stephanie, you come in after Roger. Go ahead, Roger.
Dave, Mr. Arthur has lived on the wild side. Roger Weaver, old-time Presbyterian lawyer who puts a suit and tie on. Let me tell you, I have seen a demon from 10 feet afar, and I haven't lived on the wild side like David has. So a little normal guy like me, it happened. I saw him. He stared me down. I followed, and he was then gone instantly. And that is the truth. It has stayed with me. I was a single guy. I can remember it to this day. My wife tells me I forget a lot to this day. I will never forget that. So if you don't think it's something's going on out there. And the other thing I would say, forget about what happens to David on the wild side and little old Roger. The Bible, why would we think the Bible is full of demonic scripture, Jesus dealing with the demonic? And why do we think that it does not exist today? That would be unimaginable. Of course it exists today.
Amen. Amen. Come on in, Stephanie.
Can you hear me, Coach?
Yes.
I told you that.
Okay, morning, everybody. First off, this is real, people. It's very real. And I want to second to what David...
Because Stephanie, you were in the occult.
I was in it every day. I breathed it in my life every day. And I'm realizing now, with all of the stuff I've going through and learning from people, that I literally was raised in stuff that I thought I was just in a crappy family. And there's all kinds of darker stuff and things connected. So this is very real, people. And that's exactly what we tend to do when we don't know what to do with it. We turn away and we run and we ignore it. And that's what they want us to do. This is very real. The succubus, incubus, these are indirect. When they can't hit you directly and scare you away, and they come at you an indirect attack when you're at your weakest.
Okay, we're going to learn about some of these, Stephanie.
Rebuke first, ask questions later. If you feel anything, you start to feel an unknown feeling. Why am I feeling this? Where is it coming from? Or you feel a presence, rebuke first, ask questions later. That's important. Thanks.
Come on in. All right. Come on in, Glenn Claremont. Come on in there, Glenn.
Yeah, this is really interesting, Coach, in light of what Silver read about how drug use opens a person up to demonic influence. Think about this. New York State just legalized marijuana.
Wow.
And now the federal government is now discussing legalizing the use of marijuana nationwide. So how many people will that affect or be affected demonically if the state goes ahead and blesses that?
Oh, hey, folks, I've never taken drugs. I have. I mean, illegal ones. I never have. Wasn't a pot smoker. Went to college 71 through 75. I don't know if we're behind the times or not. But I drank enough beer to keep Budweiser working three shifts. You know what I'm talking about? And I can tell you, they call it spirits for a reason, don't they? Do you remember when you used to go and you would go to a restaurant and they'd have the sign up that said spirits? What the hell do you think that is? Huh? What do you think that is? Who can I get in? Dale, come on in. I'm sorry. I'm going to try to get y'all in here, man. This is going to take a couple of days.
Coach, if it ain't real, God's not real. What does it say in Mark chapter 16? The first thing, go out into the world and first cast out devils.
Yep. And isn't it sad we don't know how to do that? And isn't it sad? We've been to church most of our lives, all of us in here. Not only do we not know how to deal with devils, we don't even believe they're real. We didn't talk about that in my seminary. We didn't talk about that, you know. Some of you guys still got your hands up. I don't know if you want, Joe Allen, you want to jump back in? Your hands up.
Yeah, Glenn took my thing there.
Okay.
But look at, we're aware of all this stuff that's going on. But the thing is now is they're openly coming out and saying they're going to do this. The Democrats are rushing this through the House. Tucker Carlson had this on there about marijuana. They're trying to induce marijuana, make it legally, like Glenn said, in all states.
Yep. Because, folks, these are demonically controlled entities that are influencing the government. Can we make the connection here? Daggone, we only got to one of these things. And you guys all want to, yeah. Come on in, Jack.
Is there a difference between legalization and decriminalization?
Yeah, certainly there is.
Yeah, so I am adamantly against the state saying something is legal. I am in favor of decriminalizing things that the federal government has no authority over.
Me too. I'm with you. That's a whole nother show. Myra, come on in, dear.
Good morning, Saints. How are you?
Awesome.
This show gets better every day, I'll tell you. The huddle. Yes, Proverbs 21. Wine is a mocker, a strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived, there is not wise.
So let me think about that a second, Myra. That's a great point. Why would the Lord warn us against drunkenness? It can't be that he just doesn't want us to have fun, can it be? It has to be something about the influence of drugs. Or how about, see, now I got to wind down here. We only got the number one on, what was his name, Silver? What's that number one demon's name? Scroll back up there, Spencer.
That
Raji.
Reggae,
right? And he's just in music. And you think about how many people go around with these stinking earbuds in their hand, constantly listening, Mark, to the energy waves of the dark side being played through the music, right? And not understanding the spiritual significance that stuff is having on us, right?
Boom. And let Stephanie tell you about drums. Just let her tell you. She knows. See, they teach it.
Yeah, the beat.
And the beat goes on, right? Boom, 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 boom.
Low
boom,
frequency. Low frequency resonates differently in your body, in your spirit. And it doesn't take as much amplitude. So drums goes farther and reaches more people. All bands have drums. And it's just, the deception is so deep, Coach, in every angle you're talking about.
Amen. By the way, wasn't Lucifer, somebody help me out here, wasn't he the musical director in heaven?
He sure was.
Wasn't he the choir boy? What?
Amen.
He took care of praise and worship.
He was the worship leader.
Yeah, he was the choir boy, wasn't he?
Beauty, music, and light.
No singing in church, Coach. That's bad.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, folks, I believe we're cracking in something here, huh?
Real quick, Coach.
Yeah, Joe.
The Lord gave me this as this whole show was going on. Okay, we're starting to wake up to a degree that we've never been before.
Yes, sir.
And the world is just getting louder and louder. And the Lord said this, scream salvation.
Hmm. Scream salvation, man. Huh?
There used to be a noise ordinance in a lot of these cities. Cops are not allowing that to go on either.
They're not doing that. And how about this? I just got to throw this one out there real quick because I'm out of time. They murdered that Ashley Babbitt in D.C., no charges. No charges. And the woman, police officer that just shot that guy in Minnesota, they got her on, what, murder two or something like that? Both of them murdered. Boy, folks, something's happening here, and what it is ain't exactly clear. Be back here tomorrow. We're going to talk tonight about Rizzi. Tomorrow, we're going to dig in a little bit deeper. Tell your friends. Don't forget, get a book for your pastor. And what's that called? Live streaming. Man, we got to wake those guys up. Bless you. See you tomorrow.